Thanks for joining us for today's message. We are always so encouraged to hear how God is working through this ministry to change lives. If you have a story to share about how God has worked in your life, then let us know by sending us an email to mystory@timberlakechurch.com. Also, if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so by giving online at timberlakechurch.com/give. Enjoy the message.
Good to see you. I'm Vanham, lead pastor. We are in this series called At the Movies, and what we're looking at, we're also looking at the book of Psalms. We're considering some themes and how they intersect with everyday life. Today we're looking, our theme is On the Bright Side, and I have to admit to you, my favorite movie of all time is a cartoon. I know for some of you that confirms everything you ever thought about me, and it is the movie Up. How many of you have seen the movie Up? I just want to see who all the good Christians are here today. Yeah, it is a great movie, and I like that movie for many reasons. One is that it's really, at the first part, it's really difficult. There is a story about someone who's sort of cranky, hard to get along with, finds love, loses love, goes through all sorts of difficulty in his life. And yet there's an incredible positive message that I think that all of us need to hear. I think one aspect of it, this was a hard week for me. Many of you who follow me on social media know two things about me. One, I only post every 3 months, just so you don't think I'm a terrorist. That's the only reason I do it. And I do post my dog Jack died this last week, which was really traumatic. Reminded me of Doug in Up, if you've seen the movie. Evidently you haven't. What's wrong with you people? Anyway, that was sort of, got sort of teary-eyed during that. And it really hit a chord. And I think for many of us, when it comes to some of the challenges we face in life, we talked about those last week, we're looking for an alternative ending to that story. And we're going to look at two psalms today. One is from King David, a very interesting circumstance. He's going through one of the most difficult moments in his life. And as you read this psalm, you're gonna say, what? How does he think this way? He had had people against him. His own son rebelled against him. He had had a moral failure. He'd had all sorts of challenges in his life. He'd had his wife reject him. I mean, he was like the original country song. And it was, things were really getting bad in his life. And the story is crazy. He actually he's driven away from his homeland, and he has to act like he's lost his mind. So the king of this city he goes to won't take action against him. And this is what he says. He says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And you read that, and that certainly doesn't sound like someone who had gone through the challenges that David had gone through. Yet he sort of was able to look at the bright side, and it wasn't just having a positive attitude, it actually was directional for his life. This is why I want to hit this, and this in some ways is part two of last week. It's not just having a good attitude, it's finding a way out for some of us of a dark place. It's finding our next step. And if we don't get our thinking right, we get into trouble. Romans 12, it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why is this so important? It's because what we think determines how we feel, which impacts what we do. If I think that this situation is going to last forever, there's no way out, I'll start to feel a little bit depressed, and that can lead to inaction. But maybe you're on the other side of a difficult circumstance, and you're saying, you know, I think that this was difficult, but I also think that God has a plan for me. And then you're going to feel hopeful, and then you'll take actions to step in to that hope. And I think that's what God wants for us today. And especially, I know this is Saturday night service, and most of the grads are going to be here tomorrow. But especially for those of you who are in that situation, you're graduating, you're at your next step. Maybe it's not a graduating from school. Maybe it's a career transition. Is how do we take those steps where we not only live on the bright side, we lead others that way as well? Well, we battle some negativity that we face even in our society, and that's really how we can go negative. First fill-in, if you're taking notes, is we let culture determine our scorecard. And here's the problem with our culture, is things are already always shifting, aren't they? What used to be cool is no longer cool. I mean, I was thinking about this even in something that seems really objective, like nutrition. Like nutrition, you know, it shouldn't change at all. But it has changed in my lifetime over the years. Any of you remember the food pyramid? Yeah. Do you know what? Literally, and I know for those of you who are under 30, this is what doctors, society, teachers used to tell you. If you will load up on carbs and potatoes, you will be healthy. And we look at that today and say that, but literally that was taught. And then it went to something else. It was, do you remember when you were a kid, any of you, did your mom ever say, remember to drink your milk, right? And now, like, milk is from Satan. And you should not drink milk. Milk will kill you. It is inhumane to cows. It'll make you whatever. It has all sorts of bad hormones in it. And then I read just today that California, I mean, what do you expect from Californians? But they reversed their decision because they said coffee was bad for you. The state of California, which proves that it is not a very spiritual place. And then they're saying, no. And I was reading another article. It said before, it will give you cancer. I'm not kidding. And now I was reading a current article. Guess what coffee does? Helps you from getting cancer. Yeah, it helps you from getting cancer, all sorts of other benefits. Your skin will be better. You'll lower your risk of heart disease. You'll be more tolerable to be around in the morning. Coffee has all sorts of benefits, doesn't it? And then I was thinking about this. Then came low fat. You remember that? What you need is a low fat diet. And a low fat diet made us fat. And then there was good fats, and then all of that. And so it's like, if we can't decide on nutrition, I've given up, by the way, on all nutrition articles. What I'm going to do, because everything finally comes around, so I'm going to just subsist on Mountain Dew and popcorn for the rest of my life. And eventually they're going to find out that's what made me healthy. But no, I'm having a little bit of fun, but if the medical community can't figure out nutrition, then what about something that's not so, which really is something that should be a little more cut and dried, scientific? Then what about when it comes to relationships? What about when it comes to how I relate to God, how I find joy in my life, what I do with my failures and my sin? So if we know that they can't get nutrition right, then what about those more important things? See, I know right now, and I believe this is an epidemic in our area. I was just talking, I have a growth group, and we meet on Friday nights because we're a bunch of people who have no life. No, but our growth group, we have a great growth group. And we were just sort of talking about some of the pressures, even of being in the Seattle East Side area. And there's these expectations, and oftentimes when you hit them, you still don't get happy. And so maybe if we took God's instruction and direction just a little more seriously, if we really gave it a shot, maybe we would see the bright side. Maybe we would find that place that is not only happy, but joy. And I know for some of us, really, you're struggling. And God has better for you. I said it last week. You might need, medicine, all that kind of stuff. That's okay. But that'll just get you to baseline. It won't get you to joy. Joy comes from allowing God access to our life, to the way we think. Because a lot of us, number two, believe we should live pain-free. We should there should be no problems. I talked about this last week. You think about that. We have all these sayings. I was even some great Christian people. I was some of the quotes I was reading from their books and Twitter. Rick Warren, great author, he says, "Recovering your feelings is the beginning of healing." Isn't that great? I wish I could rhyme like that. Another one: "God is more concerned about your character than your career." I don't know where he comes up with these. I mean, my sayings are not that positive. My sayings are another day, another disappointment. No one's tweeting that. I can start thinking in that mindset because I have these expectations that I'm not going to face difficulty in my life. God's plan is so good and so great that he even takes our mistakes, our faults, our failures, and the things that other people do to hurt us, and weaves them for our good. But God's plan for us is not necessarily comfortable, but it is good news. We also, number three, we can have an attitude of entitlement. This keeps us from joy. And of course, this is what I hear from parents, especially on the East Side. "Oh, my kids are entitled. They're so entitled." And my question is, well, where did they get that from, mommy? They got it from us, right? Is there's this attitude of entitlement. If you study the scripture, one of the things you'll know is that the only thing we deserve is the consequences of our sin. And God gives us something different than that. He gives us an option. He gives us a way out. And that gives us incredible joy. We also have to learn this in every aspect of our life. Because if we have too many expectations, too many entitlement, it can put a burden. It puts a burden on a marriage. When we have an attitude of saying, "I'm entitled to this," instead of, "How can I serve you?" Something that seems to be like a blessing then becomes part of the package. And we stray from a sense of thankfulness for God's grace. And I'll tell you that not all the time, but most of the time, is if we have a problem with maybe it's serving faithfully or forgiving or giving or caring deeply, it's really a gratitude problem. And we live in joy when we have a thankful heart for what God has done on our behalf. And then number four, we believe that this season is every season. We're missing a no end, but it's there somewhere. By the Holy Spirit, it's there. We believe that this season is every season. Maybe you find yourself in there's difficulty right now in your job. You're holding on for a paycheck, but it really sucking the life out of you. Maybe you're a retired person and you watch those that you love and care about start to run into health problems. Maybe you're a mom and you you are going through a difficult season with your kids. The reality is that in these difficult seasons, Jesus meets us. And often these make up much of our lives, maybe even more than our preferred destination. But we find joy when we allow Him to meet us in those seasons. The challenge to my faith is the words of Jesus, where it says this: "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their very self?" That Jesus calls me to true happiness, but it comes through saying, I'm gonna lay down some things so I can pick some things up from God. Maybe you, as you're graduating, you're in a transition in your life, and the question is not, God, what do you have for me next? But God, what can I lay down to where I can pick that up? Maybe I need to lay down some bitterness. I've talked to so many people, and you've gone through a difficult situation, and maybe a marriage is ended. And you say, I want a new relationship. But don't you understand that when you hold on to that bitterness — by the way, bitterness is not an attractive quality. Do you know that? You know, I want a new relationship. I'm just a little bit bitter, and I'm going to take it out on you. You want a date? The answer is no. And here's the truth. You got there. I understand. It was their fault. You should be bitter. You deserve to be bitter. But you will never have joy till you lay it down. And oftentimes, it's that right feeling of like, yes, I deserve this. And you might be right. Maybe it's, you are at work. And I talked to a friend of mine. And works for one of the little tech companies around here. And he got passed on a promotion. And he said, you know what? It is not right. And started to go in that complaining route. And I said, brother, just let me be honest with you. Your boss is not looking around in the next season of promotion saying, who's the most negative person on my team? They're going to be the new supervisor. Until you lay down that offense, you'll never pick up what's next. Maybe for some of us, it's laying down some things that are products of our own sin. And we say, you know, because I've said yes to Jesus, I'm gonna finally lay down this guilt. I'm going to lay down the guilt of that relationship that was way outside of God's plan. And it's not so I can go that way again. It's so I can go God's way in the future. I'm going to lay down that self-talk. We all have an internal script in our mind that we tell ourselves. And, I'm just so stupid. I can't do it. And no, you know, I'm not one of these people who is like, you know, speak it into being. I don't believe in that kind of theology. But how we think determines how we feel, and it'll have an impact on what we do and what we experience in our life. And so maybe it's time, you know, it's so funny, people will resist. Well, reading the Bible is hard. Aren't most hard things, many of them are good for you. Is going to the gym and lifting weights easy? Yeah, I don't know either. I was just wondering. No, it's hard. I love to go to the gym, and so, you know, and it's hard with all these, you know, people who muscle heads, and I create scenarios around them. Well, that's just because they're all unemployed, and you know, and they're like, "Don't worry, little buddy, I'll help you lift that." And it's just, it takes some humility. So if I want to be healthy, what do I have to do? I have to take a step. I have to be humble. I have to say, you know, I'm going to lay down this pride. You know, pride is a killer. And it's not just, you know, people use pride, and some people will look at someone who's confident and say that's pride, and just to tear other people down. I'm not talking about confidence. Confidence is a good thing. It's a God thing. But the pride says, I'm going to do it myself. How I appear is more important than who I am. I love meeting with folks, and I'm only able to meet with, you know, so many, and so that's always a challenge in a church like this where there's lots of folks, but there's lots of great pastors. And I love hearing people. Someone met with me, we had breakfast, and he said, you know what? I need to grow spiritually. Tell me what I need to do. This person, smart person, vice president with a tech company around here, successful in every other area of his life. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to be unsuccessful spiritually. I'm going to say, I need help and I need to grow. And so the question is what are you going to lay down so you can pick something else up? Well, how do we keep positive in a negative world? Number one, you got to choose the right squad. You got to choose the right people to go through life with. Andy Stanley said, the great author and pastor, he said, you show me your five closest friends, I'll show you your future. Those of you who are going on to a new season, graduating, when you get to college, great time to pick who your friends are going to be. And by the way, you can make a new choice along the way, and it's difficult. Look at what it says in Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. And we're going to look at Psalm 1 a bit. That is just basically saying, choose who you're going to be around. And we don't wake up in the morning saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to Starbucks and sit with the sinners and the mockers today. We just sort of go through life and we don't think about who we're going through life with. Another group I'm part of, and I'm part of a guys group and a lot of people who are point leaders in their organizations, and we talk about how can we allow Jesus more access to our life? Who's encouraging you in that way? I'll ask people, do you have any friends? And people say, yeah, I have some friends. I say, do you have any friends who really help you draw closer to Jesus? That's why, you know, we say, hey, join a team, join a group, anyway, connect, let us help you on that journey. What are your fundamental allegiances in your life? Number two, don't let happiness be your trump card. As I've said before, happiness can never be found directly. It's always the byproduct of something else. We see in Psalm 1, 2, it says, but those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on his law day and night. That we find that people who are saying, you know what, I'm gonna take this step towards God, and I'm going to do it by going through some difficulty. Maybe for you, it's a difficult conversation that you need to have. And you say, you know, I may not be happy in this moment, but we're going to talk about the issues in our relationship. Maybe for you, it might be saying, hey, I'm going to get help. I talked a couple months ago about my own struggles that I had with alcohol. And afterwards, got so many people calling me and saying, man, I have that struggle too. And I said, well, here's the thing. Are you going to get help? Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about it. I'm saying, why don't you stop thinking about it? Why don't you start saying, no, today is the day that I get help. Today is the day that I live differently. Number three, it comes to allowing God access to your whole life. Now, I know that this sounds out there. It's really not touching down to earth. It's not really how, but it's what we learn in the path we're taking is it getting us to where we want to go. Psalm 1:6, it says, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, and the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Part of it means that we have a commitment to growth. And so I would ask you is what is the last growth step that you've taken? For me, I sort of gotten out of it. I've been a pastor. I've done a lot of reading, went to school and got, you know, my all the education, master's and doctorate used to teach and all that kind of stuff. And then after I got through teaching, I stopped teaching classes. I thought, you know what? I'm going to watch some Netflix. And I did it for about 10 years. And so I always told my wife, I'm not illiterate, I'm just post-literate. And then I realized I wasn't growing like I used to be growing. And so have any of you ever taken the test, the Enneagram? Have any of you ever taken that? Yeah, it's sort of a test, and it talks about personality types. I'm actually going to be using this as a basis for our relationship series in the fall. And there's type 1, type 2, type 3, all of that. And type 8 is one, is called the challenger. And that's the one that I am. So evidently that's the one that God really likes. So the funny thing is, so my wife and I were taking this. And it said, well, you know, these are the, if you're type 8, it would be great if you, you know, married a type 2 or a type 3, and it mentioned every other type except the one my wife is. She is a type 1, a perfectionist. And so guess what happens when a challenger marries a perfectionist? They end up in therapy. That's what happens. And it's sort of interesting. And as we were looking at not only who we are, understanding each other, but what it means to live on the other side of each other. And for us, it's a commitment to growing in this next season of our life. And so sometimes there's uncomfortable truths that cause us to grow. And the question is, am I ready for those? Am I open? Number 4, trust God with your ultimate outcomes. So as we look at the bright side, it's all about trusting God, even when things can be a little bit difficult. Ultimately, the bright side is something that happens on the inside. Scripture says this, for the Lord, the person is like a tree planted by streams of water, and yield its fruits in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Doesn't mean that everything's going to work out and all the checkbook's going to balance the right way every time, or we will live life pain-free. But it does mean when we give God access to our whole life, when we say, God, will you teach me through this season, that we can find a deep and abiding joy. My guess, if you're anything like many of us, if you say, you know, sometimes I've looked for that somewhere else. Maybe you've looked for it in activity, in intimacy. And God gives us this invitation.
Thank you for listening to the Timberlake Church podcast. Stay connected with us by visiting timberlakechurch.com or follow us on Twitter or Facebook.